1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. Tapped into the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 105. Want to continue to look at this Commanders offense minus Terry McLaurin as we roll throughout this 11 o'clock hour. Plus, we'll switch over to the defensive side of the football because for all of the panic, maybe panic's too strong of a word. For all the criticism, I guess, that I've had of the Commanders offense throughout the first week of training camp, first eight practices of training camp, despite, you know, some of the struggles that they've had, and it's expected, right? It's camp. If that's been kind of like a black eye over this thing, the defense is like a brand new pair of veneers. The defense is like a brand new washed car. Because seriously, it's a group that before the Terry thing was hanging over our head, the number one concern we had about this team was the defense. And throughout the first eight practices of camp, they have been superb. This is the best way that I'm going to be able to describe that group. But I'm not trying to be hyperbolic. Like, they look good. They're turning the football over. They're communicating well in the secondary. Pass rush looks effective, even though it's camp. And you can't touch the kid in the yellow jersey. Or else you'd get cut, probably. They've looked good. They've given this offensive line trouble. Now, is that because the offense is minus Terry McLaurin or because the defense is actually better? We'll take a look at that as we roll throughout the hour. But I want to get back to the phones. Should ownership get involved here? And the reason I ask this question is because for the entirety of my life, as a 27-year-old, I saw nothing but joke executive after joke executive after joke executive. Vinny Serrato, Scott McLuhan, Bruce Allen, Marty Herney, Martin Mayhew. Let me not throw Martin Mayhew in there because I actually do think Martin Mayhew was a good evaluator of talent. He was just having to answer to Riverboat Ron. But I've seen it time and time again here where we've had executives come through town that don't know their head from their wazoo. And, you know, ultimately, they weren't given the ability to do their job all the way, on top of not knowing what the job was. Right? Daniel Snyder was consistently involved. Jay Gruden's told you stories here on the radio. We know stories that we've heard from people on the radio. Like, it was not a fun time, right, when you're a scout and you're putting in work for 6 months out of the year and then Daniel Snyder gets off of his yacht and makes the pick for you. Like, that's not fun. But Josh Harris isn't Daniel Snyder. The only thing they have in common is that they're both rich. Josh Harris is not Daniel Snyder. And to me, like, in terms of getting involved in a negotiation, we know how close Terry and Magic are. I wonder, like, is Magic Johnson the guy that has to get involved? I'm saying this. If ownership got involved in this situation, would I think it's a major red flag? No. No, I would not. Would it be something that I'd want to get used to? No, because I just think that Adam Peters and company let them do their job. But in this situation, knowing how paramount it is to get McLaurin back in the fold for this year, if ownership got involved, would you be upset? 1-800-636-1067. And let me define that. Because ownership getting involved doesn't mean that they just give Terry whatever number he wants. It means that ownership steps into the negotiation, becomes more abreast to the situation, right? And maybe, just maybe, tells Adam Peters, hey, look, I got the cash. Let me pay him. Give him a bunch of bonus money that's got to come directly out of my pocket that doesn't impact the salary cap. If ownership is getting involved in that way, I don't have a problem. See, this is not ownership picking a player. This is not ownership telling you who not to draft. If Josh Harris and the company decide, hey, look, man, let's just put our money together and let's sweeten Terry's deal for this year and give him more guaranteed money and we'll renegotiate it at season's end. Or if they say, give Terry a new deal and we're going to be able to give him a bunch of bonus money. Like, that's something that can happen. It doesn't mean ownership's got to meddle and undermine the front office talking about the GM. It could just be that ownership's got the cash. They're the ones that signed the check. So if they want to, you know, give Terry the money to make the deal sweet, then I think they should be able to do that. 1-800-636-1067. Gary is in Upper Marlboro. What's going on, Gary?
Hey, Linnell. Great show.
Appreciate you, man.
Hey, look. I don't want the owner to get involved. If Adam is telling him that Terry is not worth this amount of money, then it's not a good precedent for the owner to come in and say, yeah, I agree with you, but I'm going to give him a bunch of bonus money. All right? That is still undermining your young GM, so who's done nothing but good things up to this point.
Gary, I'll let you continue, but can I rebuttal? I wouldn't look at that as undermining it, because it would not impact the financials of this organization moving forward. It would be coming out of Josh Harris's pocket. It wouldn't be impacting your salary cap, which is what really impacts team building.
Yeah, I get that, but it's still Adam saying Terry's not worth that amount of money. It doesn't matter whether or not it's the salary cap or not. He's saying, Terry, you're not worth $35 million. And we don't want to set a precedent of players who are really likable where the owner comes in and says, we're going to pay you more than you're worth. That's a terrible precedent. Okay, I don't think that is anything that Adam Peters, in my opinion, should get involved in. Okay, I think that he should stay on the sideline. If he can mend fences and say, okay, Terry's upset, Terry doesn't think we want him here, that him sitting down with Terry and having that kind of conversation, I don't have a problem with it. But the negotiation should be between Adam Peters and his people and Terry McLaurin. And I just don't think that, I don't think Terry is worth $35 million. Okay, I don't think he's in the same, one caller said that, if he was in Cincinnati's offense or, you know, he would get the same type of numbers. No, he wouldn't. All you have to do is watch Justin Jefferson and watch that kid out of Cincinnati to see that those guys are special at the end of their careers. They're going to be called, be named with some of the greatest wide receivers of all time. Terry is not in that conversation. All right. I love him, but he's not in that conversation. And the one last thing I want to say about Terry and his point about always being for the organization, being a positive, even when things were going bad. Well, that's your job. Okay. You don't come to, you don't come to work half cut because you're upset. No, you're under contract. You come and you work hard. And he's always been that. But don't say I'm worth an extra $3 or $4 million a year because I played well amongst the train wreck. No, I mean, that's not, that should not be a bargaining position for him at all. You've been a great citizen. You've been a great athlete for us. Okay. But don't sit there and say, well, I played well, even though, you know, fireworks are going on around me. No, that's your job.
Well, I think a lot of people have felt that way in terms of, and I got Mo tweeted at me and said, listening to that clip you played of Terry needs to understand you don't get paid for what you did in the past. You've already been paid for that. You get paid for what you potentially could do in the future. Ownership should not get involved. Remember Snyder. So I get folks that have reservations about the ownership group getting involved. I totally understand that. But like I explained a moment ago, if it's a situation where Josh is like, okay, if my money can solve this situation and it's not going to impact our salary cap and it's not going to impact our team building philosophy, then I will be okay with doing it. Because here's the reason why Washington doesn't want to pay Terry McLaurin the money he's asking for. They want to have their money freed up down the line. They don't want to invest that type of money in a 30-year-old wideout. But if Josh Harris and company are willing to come in and, I don't even want to say pay Terry under the table because it's not directly that, then let him. If he wants to tack on bonus money, if they want to give Terry a bunch of bonuses and Josh is willing to come out of pocket, the ownership group is willing to come out of pocket for it, why would I be upset with that? Let's go to Bill in St. Mary's. What's going on, Bill?
Yo, what's up, Lino?
How you doing, brother?
Happy Sunday, man.
Happy Sunday to you.
What is it, 4 or 5 more until the Giants?
I know. And you know what's crazy? All this Terry McLaurin stuff, you know what we really need to be focused on? I keep seeing video clips of Abdul Carter just do violent things to the offensive linemen of the New York Giants in training camp. That's what I'm more so concerned about right now. We'll get Terry in when we get Terry in. I'm ready for the Giants.
Yeah, so number one with that, thank God for Adam Peters, because now we have Laremy Tunsil.
Right.
And that's why I think, you know, it's going to be okay, one way or another. I'm pretty sure Terry is going to be out there week one, suited up, you know, with a new deal or not, because like someone else pointed out earlier, if he doesn't have a new deal, it just becomes contract year. So he is 31, you know, he's 30s, right. Like he's got to get out there and show he's got value, that, you know, he's worth all this money that he's asking for. But all that aside, I love Terry. He's like my second favorite wide receiver since Santana. And I want to see him retire here as much as everyone else, but this is a business. And like you said, I don't think ownership getting involved is just automatically the sign of dysfunction. Like we're going back to the old ways, you know, but it is a spectrum, because what's happening in Dallas, you know, you can see the distinct difference between both situations, because Terry hasn't written a 3-page manifesto talking about how disrespected he feels by the team, and that he wants out. He just put in the trade request, and he's holding in now because he was instructed to do that by his agent. You know, there's a process to these things. So he's doing what he's been told to do. Peters is doing what he can to, you know, look out for the team, look out for the future, while obviously trying to keep Terry around because he's a big part of what they're trying to do here. But, you know, there's only so much money to go around.
There's only so much money to go around, and that's the point here. And it's like,
yeah,
to me, man, and I know you're probably the way our screener put it here, like I know a lot of you all on the line right now don't want ownership to get involved. I say it's not a big deal if it's just tacking on bonus money like that. If it's not going to impact the cap and it's not going to impact your finances long term, I don't care that the ownership group gets involved. And I appreciate the call, Bill.
Did you just call me our screener?
Our screener? I mean, that's... Wow. Pat is in Mechanicsville. What's up, Pat?
Linnell, no, no, and hell no.
I know.
I don't want them to get involved, man.
I know.
I'm like you. I mean, I'm sure Peters and Josh talk every day. Now, if he wants, like you say, he wants to throw money at him in the bonuses, yeah, I can agree with that. But one thing we got to remember, he's under contract, so he really don't have too much choice but either to set out, which I don't think he will, and I think he'll be there come week one, and then if you have to, franchise tag him for a year or so. But I love the dude, and I hope they get a contract. And, man, I can't wait. And there's a guy, one more point I want to bring up. The running back they got in the 7th round, I think we got a steal, and I think that guy is going to be an absolute stud.
He's probably the guy. Have a good one, brother. I appreciate you, man. And we'll have this conversation as we roll into the final hour in terms of who you're most excited to see in the joint practice and then in the preseason. Who Pat just mentioned, Bill, Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt. Yeah, sign me up. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. When we come back, we'll continue to take your calls on whether or not you think ownership should get involved in the Terry McLaurin negotiation. Plus, I'll tell you which piece of this offense that I'm most excited to see coming up in the preseason and in the joint practice against the New England Patriots. That's next here on The Fan. Friday night is the preseason opener for the Washington Commanders and the official start to the 2025 season. Fresh off of a year in which you won 12 games. Fresh off of a year in which you punched your ticket to the conference title game for the first time since the 90s. Vibes are supposed to be sky high for the Burgundy and Gold, but the problem is there's one thing lingering over this organization right now. It's the fact that the team and star wide receiver Terry McLaurin can't come to terms on a contract extension. Are you at a point where you want ownership to get involved? 1-800-636-1067. The other part is this. I've mentioned that this Washington offense during training camp to this point is, it's been clunky. It's the best way that I would describe it, right? They've had good moments. They've had bad moments. But to me, as clunky as the offenses look, there's one thing that we can't really measure because it is training camp. Now, you get a better understanding and look at it in the joint practice against New England, and you also get a good look at it Friday night if the starters play in the preseason opener. This running game, man, that Washington has, I think it could be, to call it the saving grace maybe is hyperbolic, but it could be what unlocks this offense next year. The rushing attack of the Commanders was one of the best in the National Football League last year. It just was. It was one of the best in the National Football League last year. The question I have is this. I think that's more important than getting Terry McLaurin in the building. If they can get the running game back going the way that they did last year, early in the season, not what you saw down the stretch when it was Jaden Daniels strapping the team to his back like a jetpack. Like that, that's super vital to what they're going to try to accomplish next year. If they could have balance offensively and if the traditional running game could get going, I think it eases things and eases the burden of Jaden Daniels in the passing game. So maybe you don't notice that he's missing a number one wide receiver as much. Now, I'm moving under the premise that he's not there for week one because I think I feel a lot differently than everyone else does. I don't think it's just a matter of time before the deal gets done. I don't. There's nothing, I've seen nothing to this point that would make me believe that all of a sudden they're going to wake up one day and the deal's going to get done. So that's where I begin to think about, well, what does the offense look like minus Terry McLaurin? And we've gotten to see that for the past eight practices. It's a clunky group. It's a clunky side of the football. Now, here's where the saving grace could be. Jaden Daniels in his ability to hurt defenses with his legs, something that could definitely help this offense next year, 100%. But I think the traditional running game with Brian Robinson, with Austin Eckler, right? Like that stuff, that is what you need for this offense to have success. They averaged the third most rushing yards per game last year. They ran the hell out of the football. And to me, when this offense is at its best, it's when this running game is kicking ass and taking names, right? There's a physicality that they brought in the running game last year that really caught some teams off guard. So when you have the ability to air the football out the way that Washington does, and when it gets cold outside, you can bow up and run it down someone's throat, that is what championship teams do. Point blank. The Commanders last year as a team averaged 5 yards a rush. It's fourth best in the National Football League. So that's the one part of this offense where I'm like, you know what? I can't really tell in training camp where the running game's at because you're not really going 100 miles per hour. But you're going to find out next week when you practice against Mike Vrabel's boys. I guarantee you, they're going to go balls to the wall during that joint practice, that preseason game Friday night. So that to me is like the silver lining with this. Can the Commanders in this rushing attack, can it lessen the blow of not having Terry McLaurin? I think that it can. And I'm honestly counting on it to do so. What say you? 1-800-636-1067. The question for you is, should ownership get involved in this Terry McLaurin negotiation? Let's go to Drew out in Eastern Shore. What's up, Drew?
Hey, Linnell. So I think that part of the reason we're concerned with ownership getting involved is because we've had a couple decades of a dysfunctional ownership. And, you know, I've been a business owner. I've also been a CEO, and I work with owners. And I'll tell you that it's always a team effort. Right. And this is what I think a functional ownership group would, the discussion I would want Josh to be having with Adam. And it would be a couple of things. First and foremost, Josh would tell Adam, hey, your job is to be responsible for this, for the team, the contract of the players and their salaries and all that. And you're going to be evaluated on that, but you're empowered to do it. Second is if I can be helpful to you, if you need me to go and talk to them, I can work for you on that, but that's your job. But if you want me to engage, I'll engage. Just tell me what you want me to do. And third, if there's some, if you're designing to a budget and constraints over league salary, and you need a little one-off flexibility for this case,
right,
you know, let me know. We can make that happen.
And
those
Drew,
are functional things.
Thank you, Drew. And Drew, like, that's, you literally laid it out perfectly, because that's what I've been saying. Have I not been saying that the past 20 minutes on this? Like, I don't need them to go overstep Adam Peters. It's the idea of what you said. We got money, right? We got 21 limited partners on this damn ownership group, Drew. We can scrounge up a little cash to make our star wide receiver happy, and it doesn't have to impact the salary cap. That's, look, Drew, that's the benefit of being the Washington Commanders, not the Cincinnati Bengals, with their broke-ass ownership group.
Like, exactly, and it also sets that team message from top to bottom, right? We're all on this together. We can talk about hard challenges,
right,
and we can come up with unique ways to address them.
For sure. Right? Drew, I appreciate
Don't
you
Don't put
always,
everyone
man.
In a box.
I appreciate
hey, man,
you as always,
take care.
Brother. Yes, sir.
And then let's go beat the Giants.
Let's go. Thank you, Drew. Attaboy. Okay. Let's go beat the damn Giants. Because seriously, I'm tired of being sad about this Terry McLaurin stuff. And I'll be real, I wear it on my sleeve. It bothers me. I am a little sad about it. But it's got to get done. And if it doesn't get done, I'm just not sure if this team's going to be able to reach the goals it's trying to set for itself this year. 1-800-636-1067. Bob is in Tennessee. What's up, Bob?
Hey, Linnell. How you doing this
I'm
morning?
Good, brother. How you doing, man?
Awesome. Hey, I love that the thought process you've got there with the owner. My only question is, and I like the let me first state you up front, I think he should be involved. I really do. And I think there are many, many creative outside-of-the-box ways to deal with this. But how could he kind of take the coin out of his pocket and tell Peters, I got this covered. You know, you just go straight down the line. This is your salary for the year. This is your, and I'm going to kick in a signing bonus that's going to blow McLaurin out of the water, and it's not going to impact anything. Can he actually do that without incurring the wrath of the league or something? Saying, hey, you know what you're doing.
Signing, and I'm going to Google it, and you all can Google it too, just to confirm it here. A signing bonus does not count against the cap. Like that, I'm pretty sure that's the way that works in the NFL.
Okay.
I'm going to Google it just to get the correct answer 100%, because I know that I'm about 99% sure on that, but I want to be sure for you all. But like that's the premise that I'm coming with here. I'm not asking Josh Harris to overstep Adam Peters, but man, if you got money, look, it ain't an even playing field, man. Not every owner is created equal. If Josh Harris and the 21 limited partners got a little bit more cheese than the other owners out there, Jerry Jones, then they go ahead and flex your muscle. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Let's go to Paul in Gainesville. What's up, Paul?
Hey, man, love your show.
Appreciate you, man.
Short and sweet, and then I'll hang up. So, from my opinion, not only no on ownership involvement, but H-E-double-L no involvement.
I got you.
And the other thing, too, is, I mean, earlier the mantra has, and you know, was, an Adam we trust. So does that mean this mantra is now BS and we're all just full of BS?
So,
you know, previous callers are nailing this. We don't want to set a precedent because there's a reason why we are blessed. Snyder is gone, man. He used to make all the calls, and I'm both Team Terry and Team Ownership. They'll figure this out. And I'm still in Adam we trust. So.
For sure. And I appreciate the call. Yeah. So I just found out the exact language on how they could do this. So what they can do, the thing about signing bonus, yes, it does count against the cap, but you can spread it out over the life of the deal to where the cap hit does not have to be extensive. You can finagle a deal to where there's a massive signing bonus and it lowers the actual salary cap hit. And that's what's most important here. And why Washington, I think, is hesitant to do the deal. They don't want their cap screwed up on a 31-year-old wideout. I get that. So, now I'm trying to get realistic with this in terms of how much money would they actually kick out? Writing a check. That's how bad I want Terry here. I'm willing to spend all of Josh Harris's money to keep Terry McLaurin happy and to keep Terry McLaurin here in our nation's capital. But so at this point, I'm trying to explain it to you all the best way that I can. When we talk about ownership getting involved, I don't want ownership getting involved with football decisions. But if it's time to throw some cash around, you're damn right I want my ownership group getting involved. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Let's go to Vic and Akiki. What's up, Vic?
Good now. What's up?
How you doing, brother?
I'm good. So you may know this story, Linnell. And you may not. Bill Walton was laying on a training table about 35 years ago, maybe almost 40 years ago. And he was looking really banged up, and the Celtics training team was like, we can't tell Red. He can play in the sky. This guy's like a bad old car. So Red comes in, smokes his pipe. You look at Bill Walton. He said, man, get out of here. Everybody get out of here. Move out of the way. Red ain't no doctor. Red was the owner. Red said, Bill, can you still walk and can you still play? Walton said, I think I can. He said, all right, you're clear. He didn't do that all the time. He did it when it was going to equate to winning. Jerry Buss did the same thing for Magic because it equated to winning.
Yeah.
And in this situation, that's what it's going to equate to winning. Dan Snyder did not equate to winning. He equated it to his ego. That was the problem. Even Jerry Jones in the early 90s with the Cowboys, when Jimmy was there, when he had an offset, it was equated to winning. Remember, Emmitt set out for the first three games. They were 1-3, and then they won the Super Bowl that year. That's why the ownership in this situation getting involved is not a bad thing if it happens. You set the parameters of why you're doing it this time. You make sure that it still stabilizes your organization for the short term and the long term future so that it's not a precedent that becomes a contamination. You confirm the boundaries with your administration and with your front office of why you're doing this and how this benefits our main goal, which is winning a Super Bowl. And then you move forward with it. And if that's all set out and explained to the point where it is still organizationally systemic and beneficial to the organization, then we get the job done. I'll leave with this.
Vic, I appreciate the call as always, man. We're up against the clock. Metal Chris is going to put me in a headlock if I don't go to break. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll continue the discussion here because it's fascinating. There's so many different layers to this Terry McLaurin conversation. And where I'm at right now is I want ownership to get involved. And I want them to get involved not to undermine Adam Peters, but to push all the chips in for 2025. You traded for Deebo Samuel. You traded for Laremy Tunsil. Get the McLaurin deal done by any means necessary. Your call's next on The Fan. Metal Chris, if we got it ready, in this segment, I want to let you all hear from the head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn. He spoke yesterday before practice about the Terry McLaurin trade request. And look, I give Dan Quinn all the credit in the world. He just gets it in terms of being a head coach, being a leader of men. He's not going to let, this situation be a distraction in the locker room. I think he's too good of a leader for that. That's the best way that I could put it. But hearing him speak yesterday, honestly, doesn't make me feel any better about the situation. I mean, it just doesn't. I'm being real about it. Like, hearing him speak yesterday does nothing for me. Because it's what I expect from Dan Quinn, man. He just does everything right. He says all the right things. So, of course, he was going to get up there yesterday and said what he said. And we'll let you hear that audio coming up here momentarily, but when you hear it, tell me if you're surprised or not by what he said. Now, Chris, before we play it, I do want to run through some more of these calls here because I want to switch gears and begin to look at this thing through a different perspective, because when we talk about the success that Washington has had here over the past calendar year and the way this organization has drastically changed, I think Dan Quinn, for whatever reason, to me, doesn't get as much credit as he actually should. I think Dan Quinn, as much as Jaden Daniels is responsible for the success because he's a badass quarterback, and when I say badass, I mean good. Dan Quinn is probably the best leader. And now I may put my foot in my mouth, and you may say I'm being hyperbolic. In terms of like leaders of men that have come through this town through the 2000s, Joe Gibbs 2.0, Eddie Jordan with the Wizards when they had a bunch of success under him. Randy Whitman in D.C. with the Wizards. They had a good amount of success under him. He helped change a culture, right? When you think about Mike Rizzo with the Washington Nationals, I'm willing to put Dan Quinn, in terms of his leadership ability, up against any executive or coach that's come through here in the 2000s. I'm talking about hockey. I'm talking about pro basketball. I'm talking about college hoops. Dan Quinn's that innovative of a leader. And I feel like in this situation, he's got a lot of power in terms of how it impacts this football team. But should the ownership group get involved here? 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Curtis in D.C. What's up, Curtis?
How you doing, Lene? How you doing?
I'm good, brother. How you doing?
Pretty good. I'm sick of this Terry McLaurin mess. I'm tired of adding Peterson. Everybody's seat walking around like he's so perfect. He bought three guys here that had a red flag. Lattimore, Townsend, and who the third person that got here now? Who I can't think of offhand right now. But anyway, this man put up stats for 5 years about no quarterback. All we keep hearing, he ain't no Chase. He ain't no Jefferson. He's our number one. If y'all think we're going to go 12-5 again, make the playoff and all that, we are not. So I'm getting sick of this mess with Adam Peterson and the Dan Quinn with his off. Because it's like right there, like a lot of BS right now. They talking about culture and all this stuff. Now they're trying to pay the man. Y'all almost talking about 30 years old. He ain't this and this. So what is he? He's our number one receiver. And then he's taking the growth from Jason Daniel. So, and then all the free agency down the road will look and say, if y'all treat Terry McLaurin like this, how the other guys will feel in the locker room now. So thank you. So I'm sick of the Adam Peterson mess. Thank you.
I appreciate the call, Kurt. Holy hell. That's what's like made me laugh the most about this. That's what's made me laugh the most about this situation. Is seeing how quickly, and this is why I love y'all, man. We're a unique sports town. We turn on people quick. Adam Peters, 3 months ago, could do no wrong. Right? It's crazy. And now you all have nothing but mean things to say about him. And he's no good, and he's not this, and he's not that. I'll continue to stay consistent. We're at the mercy of the evaluator, point blank. We are at the mercy of the evaluator. Reggie is in D.C. This should be good. What's going on, Reg?
Hey, go ahead, L Boogie, man.
What's going on, Reg?
What's up, homie? Look,
how you
man.
Doing?
I'm good, man. I'm sick of these fans. Look, man. You know this because you're a diehard fan just like me. We used to have to overpay talent to get here, right? Head coaches, you know, players, whatever. Adam Peters was the number one sought-after GM during that hiring cycle. Number one. And he selected Washington, D.C. Dan Quinn. I think people forget. The dude went to the Super Bowl. The reason why it crashed in Atlanta had nothing to do with his coaching ability, as he admitted when he lost Kyle Shanahan. And, you know, he lost his coordinators, which happens when you go to a Super Bowl. He didn't have a plan, you know, and he admitted that. But this guy is an excellent coach. L Boogie, we didn't went through this, man, where we had the owner, you know, Bruce Smith and Jeff George, and I don't want RG3. I want Kirk Cousins. I want to trade all this. No, I want RG3. Okay, Dwayne Haskins. We didn't went through this, man. We can't sit up here because now we can play revisionist history and see that it didn't work. Now, all of a sudden, let's change now and let's give it a shot. No, because this is what happened. This is what happened, yo, Boogie. We give this dude, you know, and again, do I want him here? Absolutely. We give him the money that he's actually seeking out, right? And then in 2 to 3 years, because it's going to fall off regardless, you know, Father Time is undefeated. So now when he's number one in contested catches, now when that number dips, because maybe that 4-3 is now a 4-4 with some of those like contested catches and all of that start to level because of the age and just attrition, we will be the same ones. You'll be calling the show, or they'll be calling your show. Yeah, we overpaid for him. How in the world did we make this stupid mistake that we're playing a wide receiver, you know, $37 million who's only getting 50 catches? And now we gotta figure out other roster maneuvers. No, man. So I don't want my football people in the marketing discussions trying to figure out the churn rate for ticket sales. I don't want that. I want us to hire football people to do football things, which we did. I need my owner to get us a new stadium, which he did. I need him to upgrade the facilities at our current location, which he did. That's all. I want everybody to stay. Like, again, they hired me at 106.7. I'm not coming in there telling you how to run the show. No, that's why I hired you to do that.
Job. You hear exactly. That, Metal Chris?
Yes. Like, I'm not. So, again, we got to be fair as fans, man. Sometimes we get so fickle. And I think one thing you mentioned, though, because you had a couple of topics going on. I think about, like, Kansas City, right? If you think about, and again, I'm not comparing Worthy to Jalen Lane, but what makes Kansas City's offense? It's the speed threat.
Yes.
So you get Come Worthy on the field, right? So you get Worthy on the field, then as a safe, you gotta, you know, because he's not a great route runner.
But that's my thing with McLaurin. People want to talk about the stats, Reggie, so much. To me, it's his impact in how opposing defenses must defend us. When he has the ability to stretch the defense vertically,
absolutely.
No one else.
But think about it. So let's play the game because you said
there's no other proof.
You mentioned the running game, though, right?
So yes.
Let's say T Mac. He holds out week one or week two. I need a couple of specialty packages where Lane runs a couple of go routes because the boy run a 4-3, 4-2.
Just to stretch it. Yeah, I totally agree, Reggie. We're up against the clock. That was a hell of a call, Reggie. I appreciate it as always, man. That's my whole point that I've been making. The biggest area in which they would miss Terry McLaurin. It's not necessarily like stats, right? It's not really about the numbers for me. It's about the impact that he has on defenses. He's the only guy in the skill group that you have to legitimately game plan for. Toothpick, Keith, Reggie, Carl. Get to you all coming up after the break. Final hour of power coming up here soon on the Fan as well, as I take you up to 105. Nats baseball will come your way at that point. I do want to take a spin around the National Football League as well and look at some of the top storylines across the NFL here through the first week or so of training camp. But when we come back, more of your calls here on the Fan. Coming up here, top of the 12 o'clock hour, we'll let you hear from the head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn, as he spoke to the media yesterday right before practice, and it was the first media availability for DQ since the Thursday night trade request from Terry McLaurin. And like I said earlier, I think Dan Quinn is the best leader of men that we've seen come through the nation's capital in the 2000s. I'd put him up against any hockey coach for the Capitals over the 2000s. I'd put him up against any Redskins head coach that's come through DC, any Wizards head coach, any Mystics coach. His leadership style and the depths that he goes to find different ways to lead, and the way he empowers his guys, he's just a one-of-one cat. All that being said, I say all that to say this, like, I love Dan Quinn. I think he's the best thing that's happened to this organization, and I'll put that above Adam Peters, genuinely speaking. Like, the environment that he's cultivated in that locker room, in that building, not that I give him more credit, I think he's more important to the operation than the general manager is, and that's just my thought. But despite that, what he said yesterday didn't really move me. We'll let you hear that coming up top of the 12 o'clock hour. Right now, I want to run through the rest of these calls. Toothpick is out in Texas, wants to chime in. What's going on, Pick? How you doing, brother?
Hey, what's good, Nail? Listen, first off, Metal Chris, I'm sorry, but I'm about to run an audible here, man. So, no, the owner should not get involved. However, Nail, you've heard it just as I have. Dan Quinn said that him and Adam, they sit and they go through practice and they look at things, right? Well, guess what? He's bringing in DC championship defender wide receivers. No disrespect to that, but if this kid was NFL level, he would be there. So that shows you what Terry McLaurin means to this team. So what am I saying? What I'm saying all of this is Adam Peters is willing to cut off his nose despite his face when the goal is to put a ring on your finger to solidify how what it is to be a Super Bowl champion, right? That's what I'm trying to say to you right now is you can't do that. You have to communicate with your players, with the person that you're trying to have a contract with, and meet in the middle. You don't have to win every dispute. But guess what? You're trying to set a precedent. I understand that point. However, you have to have a conversation, have a little give, have a little take. But the goal at the end of the day is to put a ring on your finger and hoist a Lombardi. You can't do that if you're not communicating, and that's why Terry's asking for a trade.
Well said, Pick, as always. Appreciate brother. You, enjoy the rest of your weekend, good guy. 1-800-636-1067. This stresses me out. It does. Let's go to Keith and Clinton. What's going on, Keith?
Hey, how are you, sir?
You know what, Keith? You know what? You're the first caller that it actually resonated. You know, all the callers say, how you doing, Linnell? Not the good show, love the show. Keith, when you just asked me how am I doing, I actually feel moved to answer. How I'm actually feeling right now. So can I have a moment? I'm upset about this.
Cool.
It's frustrating. I feel like every time we get something good with this damn team, something stupid happens. And I'm so sick and tired of people saying, this is what good teams go through. This is what good teams go through. It's the art of negotiation. I can give a damn. It's stressful. It's frustrating. And it's making me question whether or not they're going to be able to replicate last year's success. And if last year was just some flash in the pan, I am going to be insufferable for the next 6 months. But thank you,
okay.
Keith.
I agree with you 200%, buddy. Listen, I was a business owner for 50 years. I had 2,800 employees and $400 million in sales a year. I had 50 managers working for me.
Sometimes, Keith, hold on, Keith.
You're living in Clifton.
Maybe you should go over to Ashburn and drop some knowledge on how the hell to lead.
Well, you lead by you let your people do their job. But when you're paying the bill, sometimes you got to stick your head in. I disagree with that last caller. It's your money.
Mm-hmm.
He signs Terry McLaurin, he's going to make a lot more money than if he doesn't sign him.
I like
if
that.
If it's about the money. If it's about the community, then you're doing things for the community. You're doing things for the fans. Letting your people do whatever they want anytime. There's some egos involved down there. And sometimes you got to step in. You step in, you step out. If you just sit at the top of the tower and you don't get involved with anything, you're going to fail. Overall, you're going to fail over the long term. So I agree with you. I agree with the other business gentleman that called in. Just get it done. Open your pocketbook up. Tell your managers what they need to do and get it done. And that's the best thing for the team, for the players, and for the community and making money. That's what it's about.
That's what it's about. It's a money-making business. Final hour of power coming your way next here on 106.7 The Fan. We're also simulcasting on our sister station, the Team 980. When we come back, as promised, we'll let you hear from the head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn. He spoke yesterday for the first time since Terry McLaurin put in his trade request. That's next here on The Fan.